Good evening, Lawrence, I guess, huh? You're getting smarter with those carts, huh?
Need more room.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Gentlemen, on May 13th of 2008, council opened a public hearing for this application, which I'm going to refer to in a second. And the application, the public hearing was open, and then it was continued. Extended for 60 days, I believe. And an agreement between Jim Fuqua, attorney on behalf of the applicant, and Michael Malkowitz, attorney on behalf of Barbara Murray. And what we have this evening is a continuation of that public hearing. The application is change of zone number 1651, Caldera Properties, Indian River 5 LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a MR medium density residential district to a MR RPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying southeast of Route 346A and 3,100 feet east of Route 346, and to be located on 78.228 acres, more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission originally opened their public hearing on April 24th of 2008. I received an exhibit booklet, which you should all have before you. They have the cover sheet called Riverview.
Correct.
The commission had received letters from Denrec Division of Water Resources and Sebagus Land Section, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. There is a plus review letter of February 25th as a part of the record. Mr. Fuqua made a presentation and on behalf of the applicants. Mr. Malkowitz was present with Ms. Murray and agreed with Mr. Fuqua requesting a continuation. The commission discussed the request. The commission found Mr. Fuqua added they would notify Plus if the change to the plan was substantial, that the access to the property is the issue, and that the applicants and opponents have agreed to try to work out their differences very quickly. Mr. Robertson stated that the rules and procedures of the commission would allow for such a continuation. And we found also that there were no parties present in opposition.
Business to take care of.
There was a motion on April 24th and a second, and carried unanimously to table this public hearing until July 10th of 2008. And thereby the public hearing would be continued. On July 10th of 2008, Mr. Robertson described a public hearing held on April 24th and reminded the commission that this was a continuation. And there was a motion seconded and carried unanimously to reopen the public hearing for change of zone 1651. Again, the commission was advised of the exhibit booklet's contents. We found that Rich Polk was present on behalf of Caldera Properties, Indian River LLC, with James Fuqua, attorney, Jason Bakowitz of McCrone Incorporated, and Ed Lanay of Environmental Services, who gave testimony. Mr. Fuqua provided copies of suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. Mr. Malkowitz, present again, spoke on behalf of Ms. Murray, who was also present, and gave references to the ownership of the property, that the official site plan of the access road location being considered as the access road plot titled Concept Plan A and dated July 9th of 2008, that Mr. Fuqua had accurately described the application, that they have had several meetings, phone calls, emails addressing the access road, that Ms. Murray's reasons include protection of the wetlands and the safety of the residents in the project, that they were very close to resolution of an agreement. The commission found that there were no parties again present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, and there was a motion and a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to leave the record open for 30 days for submission of an agreement to the location of the access road. On August 20th of 2008, the commission again discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1651 based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed MRRPC meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth of the county. Two, the proposed project is in compliance with the 2003 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update in that it is located in a designated growth area where future growth is directed. The site is currently zoned MR and is the same site of as a previously approved MRRPC titled Walter's Bluff. The proposed 71 housing units are within density calculations permitted for the site and the site wetland square footage percentages. Four, that the development will be served by the Sussex County sewer system and a central water service utility provider. Five, that the proposed project's active and passive recreational offerings and facilities are consistent with the goals of the comprehensive plan. Six, that the project is designed to minimize impacts on the inland bays by having central water and sewer and a minimum 50-foot setback from state wetlands. The access to the site, being upland easement over adjacent property, further protects the wetlands and inland bays. Seven, with the elimination of the access bridge, the proposed 71 residential unit development is an appropriate use of this parcel of land, zoned MR, located in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone and served by central water and sewer. And eight, this recommendation is based on the following conditions. One, the maximum number of dwelling units shall not exceed 61. These units shall be single family detached condominium homes.
Excuse me, Mr. Lang, you said 61.
71.
71, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thought these glasses were better than they were yesterday.
I was surprised. Mine are working tonight.
Two, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. Three, recreational facilities and amenities shall be constructed and open to use by the residents of the development within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. These amenities shall include a swimming pool and community clubhouse. Four, the development shall be served as part of the Sussex County sanitary sewer system in accordance with the County Engineering Department specifications and regulations. Five, the development shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Six, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and will utilize best management practices. Seven, site plan review for the development shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Eight, the interior street design shall include sidewalks on both sides of the street and street lights and shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and specifications. Nine, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed landscape design. 10, construction site work grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on offer to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 11, no individual or community boat docks, piers, boat launching facilities, or pedestrian boardwalks over state wetland shall be permitted. 12, road naming and addressing shall be approved by the Sussex County Addressing Department. 13, a 50-foot buffer shall be provided from state wetlands line. Silt fencing shall be placed during construction at the 50-foot buffer setback, as stated by the applicant, Representative Richard Polk. 14, the existing cemetery shall be preserved in accordance with applicable regulations and maintained by the Riverview Homeowners Association. 15, access to the site shall be as approved by all applicable regulatory agencies and shall be by way of an upland access easement over the property adjacent to the site as shown on the preliminary site plan presented at the July 10, 2008 Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing. And 16, the hunting activities nearby notice shall be included in deed restriction notices. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. And I received no additional comments to date since that decision.
Do we have any current drawings showing where this new road is? Is that showed over there?
I think Debbie, what would be a public hearing?
We have the public hearing.
I think Mr. Fuquay will certainly explain.
And the applicant will show the presentation.
Jim?
Any councilmen have any additional questions? Initially, we'll ask the applicant to respond to your question, Mr. Cole.
So there'll be some updated
drawings? I'm assuming
drawing.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, before we do hear from the applicant, at the conclusion of the applicant's presentation, there will be an opportunity given for anyone who is here who has an opposition or a question or a concern about this application to come forward and be heard. Fuquay.
Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I represent the applicant. With me are Rich Polk, who is a representative of the applicant, and Jason Falkowitz from McCrone Engineering, who did the engineering and the site work. There was a revised project booklet that was submitted and a revised plan. And Mr. Cole, I do have copies of the new plan showing the road location.
Thank you. We can pass those down for you if you want.
Jim, what are we looking at, this one or the big one?
The big one.
Okay. This big one sitting here on our desk?
Or, yes.
Has been revised?
This is one version.
April 14th.
That's the one we're looking at.
Yeah, that's for this. It's
public here.
There's nothing been changed in this.
No, nothing's been changed other than the road location.
Huh? So I guess,
yeah.
I'm looking, all I see is April on this stuff I got so far.
I think the white one, yeah, that's what you want.
It's a bigger bound book.
Still got
it. There's an application for an RPC overlay designation for residential development to contain 71 single-family condominium units and recreational facilities to be known as Riverview. The entire property consists of about 78 acres. About 54 acres of that are classified as state wetlands, leaving a net upland area of 23.8 acres. Property is zoned MR, medium density residential, and has been for some time. And the site is located on the east side of County Road 346, which is Walters Bluff Road. It's just east of Tuckahoe Acres and north of Bethany Forest Subdivision. And I realize that this is somewhat of a deja vu situation, since I know you're all familiar with this. It's been before you before, and I need to present things for the record. I'm going to try to do that as briefly as I can, but as you know, I have to make a record for the application, but I also know that you are familiar with this.
No problem. Jim. Go.
For the most part, what I'm presenting, you've heard before, but there are some significant changes, fortunately. So this is a similar application, but not identical to what was presented to you previously. And I just want to, for background, I just want to summarize somewhat of the history of the property, because I think it is kind of relevant to how we got here. The land involved in this application was part of a larger amount of land that was owned by the Walters family for generations, starting back in the 1840s, and the land was inherited by Mrs. Doris Murray in 1973. And Mrs. Murray and her husband sold the land to the Walters Bluff Corporation, who planned a large 1,076-unit resort community, including a 600-boat slip marina, back in 1974. That RPC was approved by the county back then, but as I think we all can relate to now, in the mid-1970s, the bottom fell out of the real estate market at the time, and that RPC never was developed.
Never lived.
The land itself was foreclosed upon. Part of it was repurchased by Mr. and Mrs. Murray, and the 78-acre parcel, which is before you tonight, was purchased by another company, ASG Associates. My clients actually purchased the land from ASG Associates in 2002. In 2004, an RPC application very similar to what you're seeing tonight was presented to the county. That RPC application was opposed by some area residents, and the principal opponent was Mrs. Barbara Murray, who was Mr. and Mrs. Murray's daughter. And they actually were the owners of the other land that had comprised the original Walters Bluff application. Mrs. Murray is here tonight. She's represented by attorney Mike Malkowitz. Back at that time, there were ongoing discussions between my client and Mrs. Murray over the development, and particularly my client's interest in purchasing a right-of-way over Mrs. Murray's property, due to the fact that the existing access to my client's property involved an access way that was over wetlands. And at that time, no agreement was reached. The application proceeded through the hearing process, and in April of 2006, the Sussex County Council approved the original RPC application subject to 14 conditions. And one of those conditions was that the access to this development would be by a road constructed to county standards, either on my client's property or on an easement over adjacent property, which would be Mrs. Murray's property, but that the accessway would not be, as was originally proposed, over a long bridge roadway that was approximately 1,300 feet long. So that was a condition of approval that would not be the access. Mrs. Murray appealed that decision to the Court of Chancery, and in October of 2007, in a report issued by Master Glasscock of the Court of Chancery, the County Council's decision approving the RPC was declared invalid. Now, the reason that decision was invalidated actually had nothing to do with the merits of the RPC application, but the reason was the old problem we bump into occasionally, that the council, in the court's opinion, failed to state for the record sufficient reasons for the council's vote, so the court could not evaluate the council's decision because there was a lack of reason stated, and they overturned the decision. So, after 4 years, I'm back before you tonight, basically where we were 4 years ago when we appeared before you. As I mentioned, this application is similar, but I'm pleased to say, importantly, different than the prior application before you. As to the similar elements, let me just kind of check those off and run through those. Water for the development for both domestic use and fire protection will be by Tidewater Utilities, which is a public utility company. It's regulated by the Public Service Commission. Sewer will be public sewer. The site is in the Holtz Landing planning area of the South Coastal Sussex Sewer District. The cost of any transmission infrastructure would be the responsibility of the developer. So the development is intended to be to utilize county sewer. Other utilities serving the site would be electric by Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, and a cable and internet by Mediacom. As far as traffic, the site has access to Walters Bluff Road. No traffic impact study was required by DelDOT due to the relatively small size of the development. In preparation of the proposed development, a number of studies were completed. They include surveys by McCrone Engineering. There was a cultural resource study done by Dr. Ed Otter. That did disclose that there was a small old family cemetery that's located on the site. The boundary of that cemetery has been determined, and that cemetery will be preserved, will not be disturbed, and it will be maintained by the Homeowners Association. There was a Phase 1 environmental site assessment performed by Atlantic Resource Management, which indicated that there were no prohibitions on site regarding the development. And there is a letter in the record from Fish and Wildlife that there are no threatened or endangered species known to inhabit the site. There was also a wetland delineation performed by Ed Linnae. That final determination of the wetland line has been reviewed and has been agreed to by DENREC. As far as the land use regulations applicable to this parcel, the state designates it to be in a level 3 area under the state spending strategy maps. The existing county comp plan designates it to be in the environmentally sensitive development area, which, as you know, is a growth area under the plan, and it's a growth area with special environmental and design protection requirements. And that designation does encourage the extension of central wastewater systems to protect the inland bays and expansion of public water service, which, as I said, we will be doing on this site. The land use plan also confirms that the land is zoned MR. As I said, it is zoned under the county zoning ordinance. And, of course, the MR zoning is medium density residential. And the purpose of that is to provide for medium density residential development. And basically, that designation indicates that it isn't appropriate for that parcel of land. So, in summary, the property is in a development district. It's in a growth area, and it's zoned MR medium density residential. Technically, under the RPC density calculations, this development, where you go through that formula, would permit, as an RPC, 85 units. As I stated, we are requesting 71 units. The proposed development is in character with the area. The area is extensively developed with residential developments surrounding the inland bays. Going west from this site, and there is a map in the exhibit book that was submitted, but going west from the site is Tuckahoe Acres, which is a campground, a conditional use campground, which is approved for over 500 sites. Next to that is the Holtz Landing State Park, which, as you know, has boat launching facilities and recreation opportunities in the area. And then continuing in that western direction, there's Ellis Point, which is a single-family condo development, Cripple Creek, which is a residential development and golf course, Bay Colony, Fairway Villas, Mallard Landing, Seagrass, and the preserves at Iron Landing. And then south of the site is the Bethany Forest subdivision, Bay Forest RPC, and Bethany Bay. So the proposed Riverview development is totally in character with the existing mixed residential use of the area. I'm going to have Jason go over the site plan just to basically explain the details of that. But before I do that, I do want to talk about the main differences in this application as compared to the original application that you approved in 2006. Most of these are somewhat minor, but I do want you to be aware of that. The cemetery boundaries, as I said, have been delineated and identified, and the cemetery will be preserved and maintained as it should be, and access provided to people who basically have a family buried there. As requested by DENREC, the state wetland line was redelineated, and the 50-foot wetland buffer was adjusted to coincide with the revised wetland line. DENREC has reviewed that. They agreed with that redelineation, and there's a letter in the record dated April 10, 2008, confirming that. As a result of the relocated buffer, a few of the units were adjusted from where they appeared on the original plan. But again, the number of units is still 71. It's not different. Also based on DENREC request, and this was this is a significant point, there's no boat docks, there's no piers, no pedestrian boardwalks over, on, or across any of the state wetlands. So there was some concern raised by DENREC as to access to the water. That's been removed from the plan, so there will be no access provided across any of the wetlands.
No access to Indian River Bay.
That's correct. And most importantly is the status of the access road, which was really the main issue that was before you before. And as I said, originally that was proposed, the access was proposed to be a 1,300-foot bridged roadway entrance. The county council did not like that bridge entrance, and as I said, there was a condition that access should not be used. Back last year, really, the applicant began, or I say last year, back after the court decision, the applicant began a permitting process for filling and some other basically improvements in order to put a roadway in. And in that process, DENREC was actually saying they would actually prefer to have some of those areas bridged as opposed to what was being proposed. And that's kind of where the matter stood back in April when we were originally going to appear before the Planning Commission and then you. And as you recall, at that time, the applicant and Mrs. Murray mutually agreed to resume discussions over possibly working out an agreement on an upland entrance on an easement on Mrs. Murray's property. You graciously tabled our application to give the parties an opportunity to get together. The parties have been involved in extensive and detailed good faith discussions in an attempt to reach a resolution. And I can tell you both parties have spent a good deal of time and money studying the entrance and discussing design alternatives for that entrance. And I can just tell you how happy I am to be able to stand here before you tonight and tell you that there has been a mutually acceptable agreement reached on behalf of the parties in principle. And again, on behalf of both parties, want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to try to get this worked out. As a result of that agreement, the access road to Riverview will be located on uplands on an access easement over Mrs. Murray's property. No wetlands will be impacted, and no bridges will be required for that access way. And that new access way is as shown on that site plan that I just gave out to you. And I will say that that'll, of course, be subject to final site plan approval, and there could be some tweaking of that. But just as you'll recall, this property is a strange shape. The property's here, and then there was this handle to the property that came in, and that's where the original entrance was proposed. You can see the wetlands in here, so that was going to be the bridge coming across the wetlands and then back in here. This is Mrs. Murray's property here with what has been agreed to. This road will come in here. It'll then turn across Mrs. Murray's property and then enter onto the development site. It's the intent of the parties that the existing Walden Park Road runs down to here. Mrs. Murray owns the land on both sides of that road. It's the intention that we will be petitioning DelDOT to abandon that road or to vacate that road because it doesn't go anywhere other than Mrs. Murray's property. I do want to state that we've reached an agreement, but as you know, when you get lawyers involved in things and try to get them written down, it gets a little bit more difficult. So we don't physically have that document in our hands yet. So I am going to ask you tonight not to vote on this tonight, to table that and to leave the record open for one thing. And that one thing would be a letter from Mr. Malkiewicz, who's Mrs. Murray's attorney, stating that the agreement has been reached. And with that, I want to turn it over to Jason just to review the site plan with you briefly.
Good evening. Jason Palquist with McCrone. As usual, Jim hit most of my highlights for me. The most important change is, in my opinion, is that we've eliminated wetlands impacts on the site. Stormwater management is going to be done, provided on site with typically some sand filters or other BMPs. No ponds are currently proposed, as we are discharging into tidal waters. The site is located within the Inland Bay's Low Reduction District. A TMD analysis was performed using the state's spreadsheets, and this development will meet the requirements. Sidewalks are to be provided on one side of the road. That's to allow for pedestrian mobility, and it also reduces impervious area within the site. The development is outside of the 50-foot tidal buffer, as well as having, again, no wetlands impact.
So nothing, the wetland line is whereabouts? I guess it's hard to see where one is in it versus the other, okay?
This dark line right here, that's your state. This lighter one is the non-tidal.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
As you can see, this parking provided within the development. If a driveway is long enough, we counted that as an outside parking space. If not, we provided additional parking near the shorter driveway units. Each unit will have a two-car garage as well.
Okay.
We provide for parking. There will be some amenities on site, including a pool and a clubhouse. Beautiful. And street lights will be provided throughout the community. And I think that's pretty much wraps my presentation up.
That pool and clubhouse will be built within 2 years, or be open 2 years after the first building permit. I mean, we've had a little misunderstanding, and not with you all, but let's make sure that's understood. That's quite clear in the in your stipulation.
It is number
7-3 in
three.
Yeah, Mr. Dukes, the Planning Commission. That's what they stated, that the recreational facilities will be constructed and open in 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit.
And I know right now we're requiring amenities to be bonded.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, do we need, is that, that's what we do now as far as site plan, you know, final review and all their approvals and all that kind of stuff, or do we need to add that into this situation?
It's
I think we're covered. Mr. Lank, would you agree with that? That we already require the bond for the project?
It wasn't a condition of the approval on this application.
We could add it if you like. Yeah. Yeah.
You could add it.
Okay.
Include it in the recommendation. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I know we're okay. Okay, Jim, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Gentlemen, again, there's a lot of information that was submitted in the booklet, and as I said, I know you're familiar with it from the prior hearing. In conclusion, with the relocation of the access road to the uplands across Mrs. Murray's property, I think that really addressed the concerns that were really expressed by both DENREC and the county council in the prior hearing. As you know, the application was previously approved by the county council, and, you know, but for the court's review of the reasons, we wouldn't necessarily be here, but we are here. The conditions for the entrance road have been addressed. The applicant and Mrs. Murray have agreed to that easement. The conditions and findings of facts that were presented by the Planning and Zoning Commission, I think, are appropriate and acceptable, and I think if you just incorporate those in your decision, that would be my suggestion. Hopefully, if you find this is worthy of approval. The only condition we would ask you to perhaps adjust is condition number 8, and only the portion, this talks about sidewalks. It required sidewalks on both sides of the street. We would propose sidewalks on one side of the street. Again, with the configuration of this site, we think that would be sufficient. It would be less paving. I don't think sidewalks on both sides of the street are necessary in this situation.
Did they just add that in?
The Planning and Zoning Commission have been requiring that generally on all subdivisions.
Both sides?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a routine. It's kind of one of their boilerplate type conditions.
Right.
But I think this is a situation where I don't think it's really necessary. Basically, for those reasons, we request your approval of the application. And as I said, I would request you tonight that it be tabled pending and the record left open pending one thing, and that would be a letter from Mr. Malkiewicz indicating that the agreement has been reached.
It's a done deal.
And,
Jim, on number 6, I know we talk about, you know, the stormwater management best practice. Do we need to add in this, the homeowners association? Will they have a homeowners association or that will be responsible for stormwater?
Yes, there will be a homeowners association, and I don't know whether they put that in there.
I didn't see it anywhere where... It just said the only thing I could see about the homeowner association would be for the cemetery.
Yeah, actually, I guess it isn't in there. Actually, it was in the conditions I think I submitted, but I don't think it was in there.
Okay.
But certainly, you could add in there that what I had submitted was that, which is a standard condition, and that is...
Okay, well, it'd be in the book, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It would just be that there'll be a homeowners association that will maintain all of the common... areas and community property.
Right.
And unless you have any questions, gentlemen, that is our presentation.
Just one.
Yes.
Would you clarify for me, this is in the environmentally sensitive development district, and as you said, it is, the county wants us to have development there. So tell me why a MR subdivision, it is zoned MR, which would be single family homes on individual lots, which is the minimum lot size. Lawrence would be how big? 10,000 square feet. Why wouldn't that be more environmentally sensitive than this project?
Well, I don't think that would necessarily be more environmentally sensitive because I think the environmentally sensitive aspect of it comes from the design, the stormwater management.
Wouldn't we require the similar design in a MR subdivision?
Well,
because it's in the environmentally sensitive developing district.
Yes, it is,
right.
Which is a growth area. I mean, there's a number of factors that go involved, and certainly not the least of which is the cost factor. Basically, the developer is going to bring county sewer to the site,
mm-hmm.
which, as you know, is not an inexpensive cost. And there's a certain, there's a certain number of units, a certain number of lots you have to have to make the project feasible. And it was determined that the single-family condo concept with these, with the 71 units. Work.
Be substantially more than you would get if you had just single-family lots.
If you carve it into lots,
you would
not get 71 lots by any any calculation.
Nowhere near, right?
No. But again, I also
More houses is more environmentally sensitive than less houses.
Well, no,
more people and more cars, more everything. Is what you're saying.
Well, again, if you just have lots with no buffers and no designated features to deal with that, it isn't going to be better. They both could be designed in a similar way, but you got to look at all the factors. The other factor is that the nature of this area, the closest development to this site, is a 500-unit campground, which is basically located across the road. So, I mean, it's not out of character with the area.
So a campground now and these high-end condos are similar?
Well, I mean, they're not. It's not an area that's totally single-family residential lots, is my point.
Okay. Just wanted to see what you would say.
I'm sure you do. Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Were there any proposed conditions that were included in what you handed in that you would propose to be added to those recommendations?
No, I think the Planning and Zoning Commission pretty well covered all the conditions with the exception of the HOA requirement, which obviously we will have. They also added a hunting notice provision, I think, which we didn't have in there. But, again, I would just incorporate what they recommended with the exception of sidewalks on both sides of the street.
There was some discussion about the requirement for bonding for the construction of the infrastructure.
Not that I'm aware of, no. Mr. Jones brought it up?
Yeah, no, I know that's part of our policy now, and that I just was asking the question, do we need to put it in the conditions, or is what we're doing is sufficient?
Would your client have any problem if the county required that?
No, they would not have any problem.
Thank you.
Would that be treated similar to your roads and sewer type bonding?
Yes.
Is it new? Because I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's no problem.
Okay.
Does that conclude your presentation?
That does.
At this point, I'd like to ask whether I see Mr. Malkiewicz is present, whether he has anything he'd like to add on behalf of Mrs. Murray or her family.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. For the record, it's Mike Malkiewicz with Barrow Smack, Demara Malkiewicz and Taylor. I represent Ms. Barbara Murray and the corporation. They're the adjacent landowners and both sides of the road here that's being proposed. Again, I'll echo Mr. Fuqua to some degree, saying that you folks have seen this before. You know what it's about. Long, lengthy hearings were held on these matters in the past. There's been many discussions, and Mr. Fuqua was correct. Sometimes the lawyers do tie up things. I mean, right now, two lawyers that are involved in the drafting, they're not even here tonight. So it's been a very intense discussions, and we've come to a mutual agreement. We've got to get the signatures on the lines, and a few things changed. But both sides have agreed that there's nothing, there's any deal breakers that have to be changed and amended. Ms. Murray's position with regard to the way this is being presented tonight is that this goes back to the State Plus process and some of the comments made by the Planning Commission in past hearings, the last hearing, and comments about safety and the environment. There was a question about any of the proposals in the past of how people would be evacuated and so forth in storm conditions or an emergency. This answers the question. There doesn't have to be trespasses again across Ms. Murray's property. It's on Upland's land, safe land, hopefully, to get across if you have to evacuate. Most importantly to Ms. Murray personally, though, is that this provides for the protection and preservation of the pond that was there in the woods and also the wetlands, both state and federal regulated wetlands. Those will be preserved, and she spent many years of her childhood in this area running through those woods and running through and so forth, and she understands that was very important for her to have these protected, and that's been done. So we would ask that you vote for the approval but at the proper time after I give you a letter saying that the agreement is done. So that's really all I have to say on behalf of Ms. Murray. I don't know if you have any questions. On a personal note, I know that I quite frankly don't know when your the terms end for some of the gentlemen that are on council. I don't really have any clients in the queue at the present time. They'll probably come before you leave term. I know that I've spent many times in front of all of you in the past, and it hasn't always been a pleasure because we've had some more, and it hasn't been a pleasure for you to listen to me drone on some nights. But I do want to just tell you that good luck, and I hope you enjoy all your free time.
I have a question. How much, if council should leave the record open, does anybody have a suggestion about how much time would be needed for this agreement to be completed and a letter to be sent to council?
30 days, Your
Honor. 30 days. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard concerning this application? Anyone at all? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized based on the comments of counsel for the applicant and for the adjoining property owner, Mrs. Murray. I would request that you consider adopting a motion that would basically close the record, well, not close the record, but leave the record open for 30 days until the receipt of a letter from Mrs. Murray indicating that an agreement's been reached and she is willing to approve the granting of this application.
So make a motion we approve or we defer on CZ 1651 for 30 days to give the attorneys a chance to get the letter in from Mrs. Murray. The record will be closed other than that.
And this, Jim, doesn't fall under any categories like contract zoning or any of these other issues that we hear about the courts don't like us to make arrangements. Is it better that we leave the record open for another reason and let everybody look at it? I mean, it sounds like we're waiting for
nobody here.
No one else in the public who is an adjoining owner who has shown up tonight and
well, I know, but
to be heard. Okay. And what it appears is that the letter that council will get will indicate that the one adjoining owner who has an interest in this matter has no objection.
Okay.
Council is certainly not going to be party to any agreement, and I don't think council needs to even know the terms of the agreement. All we really need to know is that the adjoining landowner does not have an objection.
Everybody's happy. Okay. I need a second that motion, gentlemen.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we defer on the CZ 1651 and leave the record open for 30 days to reach an agreement or a letter from Ms. Murray. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.